Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not too much. What's going on with you?
I'm currently stranded on the side of the street waiting for someone to bring me gas, and I understand you're in a traffic jam or something yourself.
Well, no, I'm actually out of a traffic jam and just pulled into Sonic to do this show, so.
Oh, okay. I just was thinking to myself during the theme music, how are we going to put our other co-host on the line?
He's already on there.
Oh, is he? Craig, are you there?
I was just playing. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, it's going all right. We can talk a little louder, Craig.
I got the switchboard on my phone, Ed, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool. All right. Well, today's been somewhat of a disaster right now for me, but hopefully we can pull this off regardless. But I do have a bone to pick with you, Craig. How are you almost 40 years old and not know how to make a three-way call on an iPhone of all things?
I'm over 40 years old, thank you. I know I look, you know, in my early 30s, but that's beyond the point. I've just never done it. I've never done a three-way call. I've never needed to, so. You know.
Well, you're gonna have to learn because we can't be this unprofessional when we're having Dave on the line tonight.
Well, I think it's more of a run out of gas in 2013. That's another question.
Yeah, that's a long story. I don't want to get into it. It's not my fault. I'm blaming Barbara on that one.
Yeah.
But I guess we might as well go ahead and get started because I told Dave we'd probably call around close to six this time, so let me
how long is
he
going to be on this?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Right. With Dave, it could go in either way, but let me try and call him.
Run out of gas.
Just, run out of gas. Just for the record, at 7:30, I'm out, so if you don't hear from me right after 7:30, I'm just not going to be here.
That is wonderful.
And now Ed's getting arrested.
I hadn't run out of gas in my car since the 80s.
I don't think I've ever run out of gas in my car. Just being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things happen.
Yeah.
His life is like a walking sitcom sometimes.
Like an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like a bad stoner movie.
Did you enjoy the pay-per-view Sunday?
The pay-per-view was excellent on Sunday. I very much enjoyed it. one of the better ones.
Sure did. Raw was very good. Raw was one of the best episodes I think they've done this year. So.
Yeah, they're on a little bit of a roll right now.
And they got the, a lot of stuff to look forward to the next couple of months. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm interested as how long they're going to drag out Punk and Lesnar. Hopefully they'll give it some time to breathe before they rush into it. I'd hate to see them do it here in the next 3 weeks.
Oh, I don't think they do that. They're going to wait for SummerSlam. So that's a big show. So.
Yeah, you would think.
And Money in the Bank doesn't need it anyway. It's got the two ladder matches. And so.
Mm-hmm.
And the awesome Mark Henry, coming off awesome Mark Henry angle. That's one of the best angles I've ever seen.
That was a tremendous angle. Mark in his pink suit.
Maybe the best acting I've ever seen from a wrestler.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was tremendous on Monday night. Hopefully it leads to a pretty good match. Let's be honest, the odds are a little bit against them.
Yeah. This angle is going to get people to watch, so match on the tour.
Yeah.
I knew something was going to happen, but they sent me in for a while there. I thought he was really done.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I was hook, line, and sinker. They all but had me in the boat before he turned on him. I am sad that we're not going to get the Daniel Bryan.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Go ahead, Ed.
Okay, well, I got disconnected. I got to try back and call back.
Okay. Sure. I love it that this is the one and only time Ed's worried about being professional. Yeah.
Are you watching ROH? Oh,
sorry, Eddie.
What was that?
I have no idea.
It just will fucking open your damn thing so I can call the number. God damn it.
We can hear you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're saying.
This is almost as good as the awkward pause on last week's show.
Yes.
I just got a text from one of my buddies who listens to this show, and it just says, "Oh, Ed," on it.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
I don't know what's going on. When I try and dial his number, I don't hear any rings, and then all of a sudden it switches me back over here.
Mm. So once again, give me the lecture on how I don't know how to do a three-way call in my early 40s.
You know what? I'm going to hang up. I'm going to call Dave, and I'm going to postpone. This is just too fucked up.
Okay. Oh, great. That's a great idea.
Lovely.
Oh, jeez. Nope. Now what do we do for an hour and a half? Okay.
Well, I knew there was something I wanted to talk about, but I wasn't planning on doing it. I was going to see if we had time. Jesus Christ.
Well, start by relabeling my show.
Shut the whole... If we were a real show, we'd be canceled.
Right.
This show's incredible sometimes. Hey, if it wasn't unprofessional, it wouldn't be our show, so I don't know.
I just need to say this. Mike Sempervivi, I'm so sorry that you're listening to this.
Oh, gosh. Do not blame me.
Oh, for God's sake.
Sit here waiting for my cheese cone.
Right. Oh, sweet cheese. Yeah, okay. All right, we've done stuff on the fly before. Let's talk about, for God's sakes.
I was going to ask you, did you watch the ROH show? Or are you going to watch it this weekend?
I am going to, but I'll be watching it a little bit later. Looks like a pretty good show. I like the main event, something new and something exciting, I think. Well, we'll see. It should be a good show as well.
Do you see somebody finally didn't get their, fail to reach their limit, their goal on their Kickstarter with Zima Allen? He gets no money. Did you read that?
Oh.
He raised $7,000. He was going for $30,000 and didn't, so he doesn't get anything. That's fucked up.
Wow.
TNA give. Jeez.
Yeah, they need to do something.
They at least put on a show or something for the guy, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, they could easily, you know, do a charity show or whatever you want to call it.
It's just.
Be nothing wrong
with the level they're at, I think that's kind of sad.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to find this list of, I got the match listing for the Mid-South DVD, so I was going to look at that.
Okay. All right. Yep, this is what happens on the fly.
I have to keep on glancing at the switchboard to see if it shows back up, and he's not. Maybe
well, here,
I'll run show. If he's not back by about 30 minutes after, I'm shutting the whole show down.
That's
yeah,
fine.
I'll take the night off. Okay.
Yeah.
Just stay up.
All right, let's run down the ROH pay-per-view, iPay-per-view this weekend. You can check it out live at www.rohwrestling.com.
This is not presented by AAA, is it?
No, this one will work. Probably because they just don't have the viewers they used to have. But in a grudge match, we have BJ Whitmer versus the Prodigy Mike Bennett. First up on the card, we have a tag team attraction, the American Wolves, where Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, they're going to be facing the Adrenaline Rush, who is ACH, and Tadarius Thomas. A special challenge match with Unbreakable Michael Elgin and the Sicilian Psychopath, Tommaso Ciampa, excuse me. We also have a return match from the San Antonio show, Roderick Strong versus Adam Cole. That will be very good. A grudge match, Mr. Wrestling, Kevin Steen versus Matt Hardy. For the ROH World Television Championship, we have Matt Taven versus Jimmy Jacobs versus Jay Lethal. Again, that is for the ROH World Television Championship. And in the main event, we have... Oh, wait, there's one more. Excuse me. For the ROH World Tag Team Championships, we have the tag champs Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. And they'll be facing Scum, Rhett Titus, and Cliff Compton, and also Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander. Have you got to see Red Dragon, the tag team?
No, I did. I think Rover made some thread today, and I clicked on it to see what he was talking about, and apparently he's talking about Red Dragon. Are they pretty good?
They are very good. Bobby Fish is one of these guys that's been wrestling the indies in the East for years, and he's always really solid in the ring and really good. And finally they put him with Kyle O'Reilly, and they make up a pretty darn good tag team. So worth checking out. And now the main event, we have the ROH World Television, the World Championship, Jay Briscoe versus his brother, Mark Briscoe. This will be Toothless and Ruthless.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, looks like a good show. I plan to check it out. If not this weekend, I will see it very shortly, soon after.
All right. Well, yeah, I got the match listing for the Mid-South Wrestling DVD that's coming up. I guess in September the 10th is going to be released. If you want to go through these real quick, let's say first we have Ted DiBiase versus Paul Orndorff. Andre the Giant, Dusty Rhodes, and Junkyard Dog against the Wild Samoans and Ernie Ladd. So it's a battle of all WWE Hall of Famers. Okay, here's XL Duggan versus Ted DiBiase in the Loser Leaves Town Cold Miner's Glove tuxedo match inside of a steel cage.
Nice.
Was Vince Russo involved in wrestling back then? It, even though the match sounds totally absurd, it is an awesome match. So, I bet the whole that sounds like about a year's worth of angles in one match or something like that. I don't know. So, anyway, the maybe focus on the storyline with Wrestling 2 mentoring Magnum TA, which is actually pretty good. Storyline where JYD gets tarred and feathered. JYD versus Hacksaw Butch Reed in a ghetto street fight. Okay, that sounds racist. A series of matches with the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express. It's probably the best thing on there.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels gets Ted DiBiase. This is in Shawn Michaels' rookie year.
Interesting.
Rick Steiner versus Nick Patrick.
I don't know what to say to that.
This is the referee, Nick Patrick.
Yeah, I know.
Who is, I believe he's the son of Jody Hamilton, the assassin, so. Let's see. Okay. Ric Flair versus Ted DiBiase in an NWA title match, which actually I think this is, they did this whole show where, Dick Murdoch turned on Ted DiBiase and busted him open, and he came back all busted open to face Ric Flair and was on the verge of beating Flair and got kicked to the outside and got counted out, and that kind of started a feud with him and Dave Murdoch. This is one of the best angles they ever did. BWF match featuring the Blade Runners, Sting and Rock, a.k.a. the Ultimate Warrior, so it's pretty cool. Terry Gordy versus Hacksaw Duggan for the BWF title.
I think I remember that match, actually.
I'm wondering if this is the match where he, took a shot to the ring post, and he cracked his skull on, one of the bolts on the ring post. He got, blood poisoning. So,
ooh. You know, there was Canadian group up in Canada, ECCW, Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling. Gorgeous Michelle Starr runs the promotion up there. And when ECW was hot in the 90s, they were trying to basically copy that style and whatnot. Well, they did a series of barbed wire matches. And about 2 weeks after the show, a bunch of the crew got sick, really sick, because they had actually used galvanized barbed wire. So the barbed wire is chemically treated, so these guys were getting these puncture wounds and they were all getting infected because of the chemicals that they put on the barbed wire to get it not to rust. So
that's Canada for you. Cool. I'm gonna put him on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello? Fucking end the show and delete it.
End the show and delete it? Okay. Okay, and then he just hung up. Then he just hangs up.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to finish my little rundown of these UWF matches real quick just because I got started.
Yeah, you do that. Yeah.
I ain't deleting the show.
Yeah, there's some gold here.
Ted DiBiase and Dr. Death against the Freebirds in a lumberjack match. Terry Gordy against Dr. Death for the UWF title. They had some awesome matches back then.
Yeah.
Which actually led to them being a hell of a tag team later on. So, Dr. Death versus Big Bubba Rogers for the UWF title.
That'll be snug.
Huh?
They said that'll be snug.
Yeah. This was Big Bubba at the time. He was one of the more underrated big men. I always liked him.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
And One Man Gang versus Big Bubba Rogers for the UWF title.
Not too bad.
So you got Akeem and the Big Boss Man against each other.
Right. Yeah, there's. Sounds like a good good tape. I think they got the best.
Here's some Blu-ray extras on here. Ted DiBiase talks getting his tire slashed by fans. 1982 North American title match between Junkyard Dog and Ted DiBiase. The history of Mid-South and the Superdome. 1985 steel cage match, Ted DiBiase and Dr. Death versus Jake the Snake and the Barbarian. The Bud Sawyer story, I don't know what that means. Jim Duggan versus Bud Sawyer from 1985. Jim Cornette's favorite moment in Mid-South. 1984, Cornette's birthday party, so you know there's a cake going to end up in his face, which is awesome.
Sure.
Bill White seeks help to battle the Midnight Express. Bill White and Stagger Lee versus the Midnight Express. Stagger Lee, I think that was a Junkyard Dog under a mask. Dusty Rhodes talks Boyd Pierce evaluating Callan more. And Cowboy Bill White talks about the late Ernie Ladd.
So here we are, left hanging. This reminds me of getting shoved out of the boys' cabin at summer camp when I was in my underwear.
Everybody go to angrymarks.com. I don't know if the show's going to be up there, but you never know. I actually think we should keep it just to remember in the future.
Are we really going to end the show? We got our listeners.
That's what he said. He said that, and then he hung up on me.
Our tens of listeners want us to continue. This could be the first edition of Deep South Radio.
So, yeah, anyway, I saw Man of Steel this past weekend. It was a great film.
Okay.
You should go see it.
Excellent. I'm actually, as soon as I plan to leave at 7:30, but it looks like I'm going to get a head start.
Yep.
I'm going to actually go see Monsters University with my son.
Okay, we got a phone call coming in here, so
good.
I'm going to see who it is. Hold on.
Sam, that would be awesome.
Oh, you guys failed and cried! I win in my shirt!
Thank you. Who is this? And they hung up. Was that one of your friends?
That was not one of my friends.
Okay, I'm shutting the whole goddamn show down. Everybody go to angrymarks.com if we're still allowed on their site after this.
Sure.
I don't care about Twitter. You want to plug your Twitter?
You can make people check want to me out. Check me out at Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R-J-A-M, Proper Jam on Twitter. Also, if you're looking for a good co-host for a radio show, I just want to throw it out there. I am available for independent bookings for all your radio co-host needs. I will be available for parties and bar mitzvahs as well. And,
you got to steal my line about the bar mitzvah so you can say that.
That's true. Well,
so
sorry.
Anyway, we're going to sign off now, and we may never be back. So anybody that's enjoyed me and Craig on the show, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
I apologize, everybody.
Please.
It's not my fault. I don't run out of gas.
If you want to send hate mail, please do so to Ed in San Antonio.
F4WFan@something.com. I don't know which AOL.
Edward Dash Laredo on Twitter and Facebook. You can find him really easy. He's the big guy that looks high in the picture. And that's our show for the night. I apologize, especially the big Dave Meltzer.
I think this isn't because of me. It isn't because of Craig. So.
That's right. It really isn't.
Hey, I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm fixing to go eat my cheese coney and I guess go home or something. I don't know.
Awesome. Well, I have a great evening.
We'll talk to everybody on the other side, I guess, whatever that means. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. So long, and come back next week if we ain't scared you off. If we have, then I can't blame you. So, anyway. Talk to you later, Craig.
See you, man. You gonna play the music?
No, I'm just shutting it. I'm just shutting it down cold.
That's good.
Okay.
We did our best. Really.
How do you shut this show off? I've never had to do it before.
I'm just gonna hang up and leave you hanging. So. All right.
We got a new phone call.
Oh, another phone call.
Yeah, let's just do it for kicks and giggles.
What the hey? Just do it.
Do you really want this show to end? This show can't end. I'm getting yelled at right now by Jessica and by Avery because Avery's supposed to be going to bed, and I'm ignoring them because I cannot stop listening to this show, and this show can't end.
Are you sure?
I'm calling out an exemption right now. This whole show needs to be at least in the top five of the best of the F4W at the end of the year. It has to be.
This is one for the ages, I'll be honest with you.
You know, it's too bad Dave's not going to be on, although maybe this is a good thing. He can ice his voice box for tomorrow when he says, well, I actually have some time to do a show.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Yikes.
Is there going to be another 3-hour marathon tomorrow?
Well, if you're saying we have some time, it may end up being like 7 hours.
Mm.
That sounds like last weekend tuckered him out.
That's... Hey, how pissed off is Ed right now?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
He just said, shut the whole show down and delete it, and then he hung up on me.
Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say like 500.
I actually don't want to delete the show just because it's so damn funny.
Absolutely. This needs to live on somewhere.
And I'm going to download it immediately so it can't be erased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. This show can serve as some sort of inspiration.
What not to do? Everybody, this is Mike Sempervivi. Mike, it's good to hear from you. I'm going to give you one of the questions that I was going to give Dave, if you wouldn't mind indulging me for a couple minutes.
Sure.
Awesome. Mr. Sempervivi, if Vince and the steroid scandal doesn't go down, does Bret Hart ever become world champion?
See, unlike Dave, I wouldn't have any firsthand knowledge of any of this. But you know what? Yes, he probably would, because I think enough time would have gone by and a lot of those guys would have served their purpose. And I honestly think that, yeah, he probably would have been. You know, he was.
Sure.
When did he wrestle Bad News Brown? That was like WrestleMania 4, right?
Yeah, in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, it was around that time. And I mean, what year was that? I guess that would have been, 18? Yeah, 88. So, I mean, they had eyes on him for that long as being, you know, the possibility of a singles wrestler. And I think, much like a Chris Benoit later on, much like Bryan Danielson now, I think he just, his ability to work with everybody probably would have put him, you know, in that position to win the title. Maybe not be focused on as much and probably be treated a lot more, you know, like he was when he lost to Yokozuna. It would have been more of that. But I just think his persistence and his ability to work, he probably would have actually gotten a shot, you know, down the line again.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We were in the time of the big men right before the steroid scandal hit, and it just seems that Vince was doing nothing but hiring monster after monster to come in and work. And if it hadn't have been for the steroid scandal and whatnot, my question was, you know, Brett was obviously a smaller guy and do they ever turn that way? As I kind of see Brett as like the pinnacle of Vince quit being a musclehead mark and actually start looking at some wrestling talent about that time.
I think it would have eventually, wrestling would have started going to like the smaller guys, like Shawn Michaels
sure.
or Bret Hart anyway. So.
Well, and wear and tear, too. It's like, I think, I don't know how many muscle heads you would go through before you just happenstance end up on a guy, you know, because it's like, how long would Sid Vicious and, you know, guys of that ilk when he kept trying to pump them through and guys still going to WCW, too, who, you know, I think just sooner or later by the law of averages, it probably, you know, a Shawn Michaels and a Bret Hart, you know, would be stars regardless. Again, maybe not as flashy or as big or remembered like they are now, but, you know, Ric Flair comes in or another, you know, slightly smaller guy from WCW comes in and, you know, if the business hadn't changed all that much, I mean, again, those guys could still work with all those monsters and make them look good, so.
True. True, it's very true. I could see him getting the title, you know, possibly later on, but I think the scandal actually forced Vince's hand to get some notoriety on somebody who wasn't as big just because of the trial and everything.
Plus, Wolfgang would have ended up quitting anyway at some point because that's just the way he was back then, even without the steroid. So.
It's funny to think about what would have happened, like, you know, with the steroid thing if Vince actually went to jail and Jerry Jarrett was the overseer of operations.
Yeah. That's
especially in the scaled-back WWF that would always ran the Northeast.
Yeah, but he was going to be running the company because that's what, one of the main reasons I think they brought him in, right?
Yeah, because they knew he could actually handle it. And I guess there was more of a brain trust there with, you know, the J.J. Dillons and guys like that. But at least they know, you know, they trusted him to not sink the business, to, you know how to operate money-wise and do so on a, you know, even though it would have been huge for Jerry Jarrett at the time, a smaller scale, even, you know, if WWF pared back like they were, you know, I guess rumored to do and just would have run the Northeast heavily and then just, you know, kept up the TV.
Any more Dave Meltzer questions for us?
I've actually got one more.
Okay.
I hope Ed calls in for the question.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
He's waiting for Gab. Not really sniffing.
It's funny because, you know, you've heard the old term ass, gas, or grass. Nobody rides for free. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have but one of those right now.
All the gas probably in his lawnmower.
Okay, I apologize. The other Dave Meltzer question I was going to ask, are you looking forward to anything coming up with UFC? I don't see anything I'm jonesing to see right now.
Yeah, not really.
Right?
Not
right?
There's, I'm trying to, I know I have a list here in front of me somewhere talking about, you know, Dave's style of, like, you know, events coming up. And it's like, you know, there's some fights I want to see, but it's like, yeah, nothing that I'm really, you know, uber excited about. And I'm also not going to Vegas or anything like that, although it seems like everybody that is going to Vegas isn't real thrilled right now with what happened.
Right.
It's like, I was
very much looking forward to the Pettis and Aldo fight. And then Pettis goes and gets hurt. That was the only thing I wanted to see.
Man,
me too.
Come on here. Hey, I can't even find it. I can't even think of the cards coming up because the UFC on Fox or the Fox Sports 1 show.
Mm.
Is that Demetrius Johnson?
Yeah, that's the one here in Seattle.
Okay, yeah, and it's like, you know, again, I guess it really doesn't matter since it's on, you know, again, Fox Sports 1, and it's, you know, going to be treated as a big deal, and they put John Jones in the advertising for the, you know, one of the commercial spots for the channel and everything. But, yeah, it's not all that, you know, knockout, drag out, exciting of a show. The Fox show coming up, you know, and obviously the summer shows we've seen, they need football. And, you know, the football announcers help, you know, matters as far as hyping up the show and everything. Joe Buck doesn't seem to want to. And, you know, the summer show is probably going to do what it's going to do, but it's like, you know, that card's kind of underwhelming. You know, with Henderson losing, I mean, you could have did Henderson and John Jones down the line. That's not going to happen. I guess they're not going to do John Jones and Daniel Cormier, which that fight is a fight I really actually would have liked to have seen. but that's not going to happen now from how it looks. And it's just, yeah, I mean, there seems to be nothing overly exciting. I am looking forward to Josh Barnett at some point just to see the promos for that leading into a fight.
Yeah, the promos will be good. It's funny, when we used to go to the Pinnacle shows, Josh would always be in the crowd just hanging out. And Brian, that's Josh Barnett. I'm like, who? and here he is, you know, years later, it's like, oh, Josh Barnett. Oh, okay. But I don't know. I'm not a big Barnett fan, but I want to see what he does in UFC. I'm always curious as to what, you know, fighters from other leagues are going to do. But, I'm soured on UFC right now because they just have nothing coming down the pipe that is really grabbing hold of my attention.
Yeah, one of the Anderson Silva, and I got to be honest, I know that, again, Dave said it last week on the show, and the whole thing with Chris Weidman being, you know, the guys who have trained with him and all that stuff, as far as him killing Anderson, where he can at least beat Anderson Silva, because he can do what Chael did in the first fight, except to another degree and another level. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, and then, you know, the undercard of that, too. It's like, it's Kennedy. I couldn't have told you what it was without looking it up. But, you know, Tim Kennedy and Hodger Gracie, you know, that was like a Showtime. I'm not saying a Showtime Challenger show, but it kind of, that's exactly what I think of. And I love Frankie Edgar to death, but, you know, the semi-main event is Frankie Edgar and Alveria now, and it's like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess
like, this is going to be like Anderson Silva pay-per-view numbers from like pre-Chael, and it's not going to be his fault.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's really the only two questions I had written down. Katrina, do you have anything?
Oh, I was just going to say something that's going to make Mike over there very jealous of me. I just got in the mail this week. I just got the entire year, 1986 and 87, UWF TV shows.
Oh.
And also, I got...
son of a bitch.
The 1986-1987, the Houston wrestling shows in the mail, so... Awesome stuff.
Well, you're going to need to let me borrow those so I can go ahead and relive old memories again.
Those old, you're talking about the Herb Abrams UWF, right?
No, God, no.
You mean I won't get to see Gaby Meltzer?
No, disconnect you for saying such a thing.
No? Yeah, those old UWF shows, those were awesome. Those were late night, black and white TV, under the covers, 12 o'clock in the morning, where mom and dad couldn't see me watching it like I was, you know, like I was watching porn or something, you know, but I didn't want my parents to know I was watching UWF. But that would actually come on here in the Seattle area. And, man, that was some good stuff.
Yeah, I love that show. It was mesmerized. It looked so much different than all the other shows. And, you know, just any show that would start with, like, the Fantastics and Terry Taylor against the Sheepherders and Jack Victory in a barbed wire cage. Wow, it's like, you know, that there was bleeding on TBS and everything, but it was like, these are men fighting in a wooden barbed wire cage, and it was just like, all right, these are fucking men.
Yeah, I mean, I just imagine, like, Bill Watson out back in at his ranch or something, just building that cage out of scratch. No.
Well, Jim Ross losing his shit with the Eddie Gilbert angle with the, you know, the Corsita Korchenko or whatever, and covering them up with the Russian flag. That and Terry Taylor, and this is like, nobody will believe this because they remember Terry Taylor as a Red Rooster and everything, but I swear to God, his turn on Chris Adams with Eddie Gilbert was awesome. And the only thing that killed that whole thing was the fact that they sold to Crockett, and then they kind of blew it off with him getting laid out by Nikita Koloff at Starrcade to unify the TV titles. But that turn that went on, with him turning on Adams, the whole thing, the way it went down, was awesome. It's something they could actually do now, and it would work.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that battle in New Orleans
with Chris Adams and Sting and Terry Taylor and Eddie Gilbert, like the old Tupelo concession stand brawls in Memphis.
Mm.
I remember that one. That was awesome.
It was funny. So slimy good.
It was funny when I would see, like, the one-man gang have a cage match with Jim Duggan. And then I would hear that the one-man gang was coming to the WWE, and I'd get really excited. It's like, all right, the gang, he was awesome. And then he would come in there and to the WWE, and, oh, wow, yay.
This is on the team.
Yeah, they would take these guys, I mean, even like DiBiase and whatnot, those guys were just tearing it up in the UWF, and they'd bring them in to WWF at the time and give them a gimmick, and my little teenage heart just breaks when I think about it.
That Million Dollar Man gimmick was pretty damn awesome.
Well, that's the exception to the rule.
Yeah, that
plus,
one
it was awesome for
cool,
him because he got to live it. They gave him all this money to go out there and beat the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah.
That was the same way, and I loved, like, because it was like, you know, my dad taught me about, like, wrestling. Like, these are football players who couldn't make it in the NFL, and they're college wrestlers, or it's like, what are you supposed to do if you don't make the Olympics? And it's like, you know, this isn't sport. But there was something about
right.
Mid-South with the fact that it was like, Ted DiBiase went to West Texas State, and Steve Williams went to Oklahoma, and these were like, you knew these were like real, like Bill Watts, what he wanted is like, what truly is what it was these were believable tough guys that you knew were tough, they played
mm-hmm.
real sports, and they were like killing each other, and then you saw him go to, yeah, exactly, to WWF, and it was like, now all of a sudden, Hacksaw's not crazy, he's just got the lazy eye and really loves America.
Hey, I was excited for Hacksaw, and then read in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and Sheiky got pulled over on the turnpike in New York or something, like New Jersey. And I didn't even understand. I said, well, why are they together? Because I didn't know about shit like that. Maybe he's hitched a ride, or maybe held him hostage or something. I don't know.
Right.
I hope somebody on that DVD tells the story about Bill Watts finding Steve Williams and Rick Steiner for, like, pulling people from the burning car or whatever it was,
oh,
the
yeah.
car wreck. And he was, like, livid mm-hmm. that, you know, how dare you break kayfabe and save those people?
Yeah, because there was, like, one with a heel and one with a baby face or something, right?
Yeah, it was something like that. I mean, that had to be crazy early. I can't remember if Steiner started as a heel or not. He probably did, but, yeah, just bizarre.
Yeah, it was like a vehicle from, like, the National Guard Armory, so there was all this ammunition in it. And it was going off in the fire, and bullets were going by their heads and stuff like that.
That's nuts.
I like Bill Watts. He needs to come back and run a wrestling company.
Only if they let him piss off the side of the balcony again.
Yeah. And only if a legendary baseball player isn't working in the front office as well. So.
You think they'd clash again?
I don't know. It's like, because I didn't ever get to see I heard all the stories about how great Junkyard Dog was back in the day, but then, like, I seen him in WWE, I said, what's the big deal about this guy? You know? Or the Junkyard Dog
that
they turned him.
Right.
Like Jake Roberts, I was always able to see. So it's like, you know, when he came in WWF, it was like, this is going to be awesome. Like, Dog, I remember, like, watching him a little bit Mid-South, but I was so young, it doesn't really register. But it's like, I never, like, I kind of liked him, like all kids liked him in the WWF. And it was like, to find out, like, you know, like looking in the magazines, that he was a major star. It was like, why? But then you go back and, like, watch the early tapes of him when he was actually in shape and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, the Georgia stuff and the, you know, the early stuff in Mid-South. And it's like, that stuff's awesome. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't really realize him until the WWF days. And, again, he was just a big, big cartoon.
I actually got to see his last wrestling match at a casino in Mississippi, like a few days before he died.
Yeah, was his last thing the ECW show? Was that his, like, his last public appearance where they had, like, him and the assassin?
Yeah,
and
It was him. I think it was him and Dick Slater at that Wrestlepalooza or something like that, pay-per-view in, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
like, in Marietta, Georgia or something like that.
Sounds right.
And I think New Jack beat him up or attacked him.
No.
Please, and so is it? Because he took some money from him or something and never paid him back like 5 years before.
Oh, God.
Huh.
Sounds like something New Jack would do. He would probably take the Junkyard Dog. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's 6:45 here on the West Coast. That'd be 9:45 on the East Coast. You've been listening to Deep South Radio. And
our special guest,
welcome
Mike
to Deep South Radio. The countdown to Monsters University begins now.
Absolutely. Deep South Radio, where we give you the deep, Katrera the South. And that's right, Katrera the South. That's right. Yeah, there we go.
Hey, well,
you've been listening to Mike Sempervivi from...
Somebody else did, so...
You're listening to Mike Sempervivi from WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, why don't you throw out the plug for your own show that you've been so kind to hang with us for a few minutes?
Oh, sure, why not? You see, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, filling all of your hockey and Japanese pro wrestling needs, at least all of the ones that are not covered by an earlier mm-hmm. version of our show, which is now called the Adam and Joe or the Alan and Joe. Little Puro Dream, and well, there's that. There's the Wrestling Observer radio show that we do after all the New Japan I pay-per-views, which I will be doing with Dave tomorrow, which is Saturday, and Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with Brian. The common theme amongst all of those shows, Ed will not be acting like a professional on any of them.
And Dave Meltzer will actually be on. And Dave Meltzer will actually be on that show.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
That's right. That's right. They know how to do radio, not like...
But, yeah, I know how to do radio. I just can't upload it. Sorry, Tony.
If anybody's listening, make sure you download this in case I don't get a chance and somebody deletes it.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a
yeah,
copy.
Somebody. Somebody, and his initials are Edward-Laredo.
He is sitting there right now listening to... steaming, just waiting for this thing to stop so he can somehow break into the internets and make it all go away.
I've seen Ed upset, but I've never seen him actually lose his mind like he did this evening, which is funny because he doesn't have a ton to lose. You know, he's a lot of it's, you know, soaked up in bong resin, but... again, I would like to, on behalf
let's
of...
Let's be honest, if it was
South,
you or me, Greg, we'd never hear the end of it.
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me?
Real quick, I want to plug my YouTube channel at youtube.com/Katrera. They've got a whole ton of new Full Memphis episodes from, like, 1988, 1981. 87, 86, 85, 84, 83, 82, 79, 78. If you want to go watch some good stuff, some awesome stuff on there. I love that show. I decided that's like the best wrestling show next to Mid-South weekly show there's ever been. That show's awesome. I love watching that. So, and also some episodes of the Jerry Lawler talk show are up there. So,
probably better than that.
Remember he had his own little 30-minute talk show in Memphis every week, so that's up there. Yeah, bring good chicken.
One time he interviewed a bunch of high school girls. There, what the irony was there?
They were all his girlfriend.
That one.
Stop it.
One was named a cat, and anyway. Hey, let's end the show and start our weekend. I want to personally
do it.
I want to personally apologize once again. Dave Meltzer not on the show this evening. Ed had car troubles and lost his ever-loving mind. And Katrera's eating Sonic somewhere, and I'm I'm going to go watch a movie with my son. So,
once again, Mike, go to Twitter and promote the hell out of this show, both of you. I would go to Twitter, but I forgot my password.
There you go. Once again, Mike Sempervivi, thank you for always being a guy that we can go to in need. Appreciate that guy a lot more than he
thank you for
knows.
Saving the show somewhat.
Hey, no problem at all. It is my pleasure to be on the show with two professionals such as yourselves, and I hope Matt's Pizza is enjoying that right now, and it's unfortunate that Ed, not being a professional, has ruined Matt's night of eating pizza because he does not get to listen to Dave Meltzer on this very radio show, Over the Top Radio, which will be back possibly maybe next week.
And if not... He's on the side of the road trying to put gas in his car, and he screwed up and he set himself on fire.
He's siphoning gas out of some other dude's car right now.
So somebody's coming out of their back door and saying, what the hell are you doing, boy?
Oh, so yeah. Come back next week, Over the Top Radio. If not, we will have our second edition of Deep South Radio.
Yeah. Okay, take care, guys.
See ya.